From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Fantasy author George R.R. Martin's Song of Ice and Fire books have sold 25 million copies. They've been adopted into the hit HBO series, Game of Thrones. It seems people are hungry for more, really hungry. That's the problem. Martin is way behind in writing the next installment. As Katie Enders discovered in Santa Fe, one of the reasons is that Martin has been spending a lot of time at the movies.
On the list of things George R.R. Martin is doing instead of writing the next Game of Thrones book, editing a sci-fi series, writing a novella, this summer HBO execs said that they would really appreciate it if Martin were to, quote, get busy writing, specifically the next book in the Game of Thrones series, Winds of Winter, which is years overdue. And now he's opening an old movie theater?
Do we have purple in our light array here?
Yes.
We do.
We do.
That would be a good thing for Forbidden Planet, because I think the sky is purple.
Martin is dressed in black, in his iconic fisherman's cap and suspenders. He's standing at the empty concession stand of the Jean Cocteau, a 120-seat single screen that the local paper outed him as having purchased last April. Contractors are crawling over the place, putting letters on the marquee, fixing leaks. In 24 hours, the Jean Cocteau is slated to open for the first time in 7 years.
Right.
And there's plenty to do.
So we have garlic here, but we didn't get garlic salt. Are you going to make garlic salt by just mixing this with...
John Bowman is general manager here, and...
Long-time minion of George R.R. Martin.
What do you mean by minion?
Well, he calls all of his associates minions. It sounds better than crony, you know.
Bowman is here 15 hours a day in the run-up to the opening. He still finds time to give tours of the restored theater. But today... Martin's giving the tour.
Up here, have you seen up here?
We head up a flight of stairs.
1912, and was many things. It was a brewery once upon a time.
He gets out of breath easily.
Later,
he's 64 and overweight. He reads the online forums and knows that some of his harsher fans have made crude jokes about him having a heart attack before he finishes his books. But when he talks about deciding to open the Cocteau, his eyes light up.
I remember the first time I saw Raiders.
His love of movies started when he was a boy, growing up in the projects in Bayonne, New Jersey. He'd sit in the cavernous old movie palaces and watch the monsters that would inspire his books. Martin could have built a massive multiplex at his own home, but he says there's nothing like watching a film with an audience. He remembers seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark, the moment when Indiana Jones shoots an attacking swordsman.
And the shock that went through the audience, the audible gasp at that moment, and then the howl of laughter that followed it. It was a great moment because it was shared. If you're sitting all alone in your living room, it doesn't have anywhere near the impact.
He shows off the projection booth with both an old-fashioned and a modern projector. And next door, he shows off an unusual little room. All the old movie palaces used to have them. It's what was once known as a crying room.
You know, you can see the movie in privacy. It's soundproofed. Crying room for a woman with a crying baby or something. You can exile them back here if no one's renting it.
In the Cocteau's case, it's a different kind of exile. Martin watches films from the crying room if the crowd in the movie theater is just too much.
My name is Michael Canning, and I'm here to see Forbidden Planet. This is a great science fiction movie. We're really looking forward to seeing it.
It's opening night at the Jean Cocteau. The movie tickets, which were free for the first week, have already been given out. But eager fans wait in line in case of no-shows.
Are we in?
Yeah, you're in next in line.
Cool.
Martin stands just inside the entryway, greeting a line of people.
Thank you.
One guy takes Martin's hand, looks him in the eye. I just want to know why you're not home writing books. This happens a lot, but Martin just shrugs it off. Finally, it's time for the show.
Thank you, guys, and thank you all for coming here to welcome back the Jean Cocteau Cinema.
The lights dim. Martin walks up the aisle and out the back to join his wife Paris in the crying room. The scene is much the same at the local sci-fi convention, which Martin's been attending since the 70s. He's doing a reading, and the room is bursting.
I'm sorry, folks. They've told me that we can't get any more chairs in here. The fire marshal.
He's reading from another side project, a 250,000-word complete history of Westeros. It's similar to what Tolkien did with the Silmarillion. So he's been calling it the Grimmarillion.
And when will the Grimmarillion come out? I don't know. I'm not working on it anymore. I put all that aside while I've tried to finish Winds of Winter.
The Winds of Winter is supposedly coming out next year, and there will be at least one more book after that. Even away from the main conference rooms, it's impossible not to get interrupted by Martin's fans.
Can I get a picture, if possible, from my husband? You can come.
His fans and the studio executives are hassling him every day. He's acutely aware of the pressure to get writing.
You know, there are writers, and I know some of them, who are very disciplined, who write like 4 pages a day, every day. It doesn't matter if their dog got run over by a car that day or they won the Irish sweepstakes. I'm not one of those writers. I write emotionally. I'm an emotional person. So, my best days are the ones where I can keep the distractions at a minimum so I can go into that world, the world of Westeros.
And if he doesn't, HBO says they're prepared to finish the show without him.
Laying railroad track with the locomotive coming up behind you, yeah. And that is the feeling I have right now. Not just the books, but the TV show, which is moving along much faster than I'm laying the track.
Craig Christinger, who runs the sci-fi conference, knew Martin long before he was famous, and he's seen Game of Thrones alter Martin's life in some disturbing ways.
It changes your whole life. And I mean, after the Red Wedding episode, they had death threats.
He's referring to a particularly brutal scene in which Martin killed off several beloved characters. Fans were furious.
And so when he gets that stuff, I know that it personally affects him.
Back at the Cocteau, on opening night, just before Dark Star, the third and final film, Martin steps outside to admire the marquee.
Oh, it looks gorgeous. Look at it. It's all lit up for the first time since 2006. You know, darkness replaced by light. You can't beat that.
He's beaming.
This neighborhood,
but no matter what's showing on the screen, somehow Martin, the man himself, ends up the main attraction. A young fan walks up.
I'm sorry, I still didn't get it. What do you want to do beside me?
Could I do a standing backflip right beside you?
Well, you don't kick me in the face.
No, I won't.
Do
absolutely
whatever
not.
You want.
He's very experienced.
Can you want me to video it?
The kids' friends, standing by, take pictures of the spectacle. Martin is obliging, but after a few minutes, he slips back inside, into the crying room, and escapes into the midnight movie. For NPR News, I'm Katie Anders.
And I moved upon the face of the darkness. And I saw that I was alone.
Hey, Bob.
Let there be light.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.